Alrighty, welcome everybody to the finale of season 2, episode 31 of That Roundnet podcast. I'm going to pass the intro over to Tops, who is currently not here, and he'll explain why in this voice message that we got over Messenger an hour ago when we realized his situation. So without further ado, I'm going to try and play this message in loud, clear quality for you guys.
Welcome everybody to That Roundnet podcast. With me today, the OG himself, Mike White, and the youngster, but also one of the most important people in modern Roundnet. It is Scotty B. Sadly, guys, this is just a recording. I'm very sad, but I messed up time zones and I can't make it today to this recording. But my co-hosts will make a wonderful job in entertaining you and giving out those beautiful awards to all the beautiful people in our community. And now, live and in color, Scott and Mike.
There we go. From Tops' mouth to the podcast. Let's get into episode 31. And as we do go through these awards, we should mention that these are just, again, that this is, we did it for series one. This is obviously series two. It's just a nice way to review. That's the word I was looking for. Review the season and review moments. Remember some good individuals and some good teams and have a little bit of a fans' perspective from the season. Each poll that we put on our Instagram of all the awards got just over 200 votes. So a good pool of people from here, there, everywhere voting. So without further ado, Mike, you're going to be my drum roll guy. We have, for the very first award, Women's Team of the Year. Drum roll, please. I can't hear anything.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. No, it's not good. But it's okay.
Do anything?
No, unfortunately not. But it's good enough.
All right.
But
hey, for the very first woman. Hey, we're getting it. No.
Okay, you're going for that. Maybe. You're doing more facial expressions than you are doing anyways. But it's okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. But for the Women's Team of the Year, we have... That's awful as well. It doesn't work over the mic. Maybe I'll include a little sound.
Yeah.
We see. We have Twins. A round of applause, please.
Woo! I did not expect that.
So, we had Twins coming out in first, Tiramisu leading in second, and then Taofu in third place. Not really a surprise, given their three-peat, given them winning almost everything the entire year, bar Salt Lake City, where they fell to K2. Your Women's Team of the Year, everybody. Twins. Congratulations to Ali and Olivia Jenke.
And so, you know what we have to immediately do? We have to immediately disregard their past success and say, are they going to four-peat? We have to think from the future. No breaks. No rest.
Can they keep it going?
No time to sit in the glory. Can they do it? I'm kidding. But, like, it is crazy, right? Like, 3 years, three championships, lost once. Like, yeah.
Lost one major together. Yeah, it will be. I'm sure they will play next season again together. And it feels a little bit like all the pressure's on them in one way. I do hope they play Worlds next year because that will be a new environment and a new place for them to play. You know, it's they've done the three-peat, they've done it in the US all the time, and they've done it now against European and the rest of the world opposition. But it will be also a good experience for them to be able to do it in other places too, which I'm sure they can do. But we'll see. Hopefully they do compete. The Worlds 2024. So,
all right, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Men's Team of the Year. And again, I personally didn't know where this was going to go. But Scott, give me a drum roll. Yeah, again, I think it fades out. I think it's like background noise, so it like doesn't come through.
I heard nothing there.
But anyway, guys, without further ado, the winner of Men's Team of the Year is Rogue Roundnet, Ryan Marino, Thomas Hamilton. Personally, I was slightly surprised. I think Kingdom Gum got 20% of the vote. Rogue got 63%. I guess I'm surprised and not. Kingdom Come taking up 20%. Like they would have had 0% before the championship. So they definitely made their name known as a big standout of the year. But Rogue really had it with those multiple major wins, being the number one team for almost the whole year. And unfortunately, last not their best couple events, but still a hell of a season. And definitely the standout team and face of that pro round net in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Forgot the year.
It's interesting to see how people voted, because some people obviously favor and value the championship more. Others value the, you know, the overall season and majors more. And then, you know, some just favor the Europeans with their yes. But to be fair, given that he has won everything in Europe, it's also very fair that they came out within that category. So, yeah, congratulations to Rowe, Thomas, and Ryan. That brings us on now to the third award, which is Women's Team Performance of the Year. We had K2 in Salt Lake City, Tiramisu at the Euros, and Twins at the Championship. And the winner is K2 in Salt Lake City. Also, no big surprise this one. They got 50% of the votes. Tiramisu at 35%, and then the Twins at the Championship at 14%. Again, if you beat that team that's done the three-peat, that win becomes even more priceless and valuable.
Yeah.
As they win the championship.
That's what we said last time, right? Like, Twins is the unanimous best team of the year. So if you're the team that give them their first series loss in 3 years, yeah, you probably have that. That's probably the best team performance, which is awesome. All right, other side, maybe similar but maybe different. A whopping 72% of the vote for men's team performance of the year did go to Kingdom Come at the championship, as everyone expected. Unbelievable! Like, I mean, probably the best performance ever in the history of RoundNet. Like, absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, maybe I said maybe.
Say it,
Scott.
Said it.
So there's no actual repercussions if I say maybe. You know, you could say anything you want if you put a maybe in there, right? Maybe. Someone argues no. It's like, cool, I said maybe. I said
the best commentator and athlete that's ever graced this sport. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Non-committal takes. That's the move. But anyway, like, I mean, no surprise. Again, I think it's very interesting that on both sides, we had the team of the year, Twins, and then it's like that one team that had that great big performance. Unfortunately, right, K2 wasn't at the championship and as impactful as Kingdom Comes, but still pretty crazy, especially with that like dominant wins over Rogue in the quarterfinals, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, just a hell of a day. So not that impressive. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. In the next category, we have the Breakout Women's Team of 2023. And just as a reminder to people, when we say breakout, is we mean and we define it as a team that has gone way above and beyond the expectations placed upon them at the start of the year. So they have really broken out, of the expectation placed on them at the start of the year. Given that, we have in first place, drum roll, our best of terms, another drum roll, Tiramisu. So Tiramisu took down 52% of the vote. Everyone else was pretty spread between Innocent, Natasha, Pushing Dives, Royalty, and then Towerfall. But then again, clear favorites with 52%, Tiramisu, and no surprise given, their constant improvement throughout the year, and then got them going to win the ETS in Vienna, then Euros, and then a fourth place finish at the champion.
Yeah, I think we saw that coming. And again, it's like, we did know they were a good team, but I think we talked about it a few times where like they had a lot of expectations, they underperformed last year. They really put it together this year, which is pretty cool. On the other side, also got 52% of the votes. That's pretty crazy.
Damn.
52% of the votes for the men's breakout team of the year. And that went to Critical Hit, Justin, and Vinny. And I think it's a similar story where, like, I think last year, the past 2 years, both really strong players. I think, like, really, they peaked so much higher than people expected. Definitely a pro team that's going to make it, but second at a major, second at the championship, not super expected by a lot of teams. And I think that's like, you know, I think well-deserved. I think, you know, ES had 58 votes or 29%. Again, like massive breakout. So it's like relative, like massive breakout of the scene. But I think Critical Hit just becoming that top team and that like top five team was not super expected by many others. So I think that's huge. And of course, shout out the other Novice Profit Boost and the Prince. Again, did their thing, had their improvement, but nothing compared to a Critical Hit. Just, and especially I'll say like that jump, the jump from like a top team to like an elite team is such a big thing. So it's impressive that that they did it this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Beautiful. Yeah. Keep us going.
All right. So the next up, we got Women's Player of the Year. So going on to now individual awards. Again, the nominees were Laura Kunzelman, Dani Kadlec from Tiramisu, Ali Jenke, and then Olivia Jenke. And in first place with 64% of the votes, we had Laura Kunzelman. So in first place, Laura Kunzelman, and then second with 17%, Olivia, Dani with 10% in third, and then Ali with 9% in fourth. Again, this was a little bit of a surprise in how much Laura won by for me, especially with how well Olivia, and Ali, but particularly Olivia playing at the championship. So, yeah, and also Olivia winning, you know, two majors with two different partners, with Ali Foster and her sister, Ali Jenke. So it surprises me a little bit.
Clear European bias.
I'm not going to call out all the short Americans who voted for Laura on this list to discredit that. But plenty of votes for Laura there. And again, when you
well deserved
season in regards to how many tournaments she's won with different partners, both in mixed and in the women's division, surprise. First place to Laura. So congratulations to Laura for Women's Player of the Year 2023. On to the men's.
Yes. On to the men's side. And, you know, our top nominees were Ryan Marino, Blake Bozak, Matt Cole, and Grant Clapwick. And I'm happy to announce that our voters chose Men's Player of the Year as Ryan Marino from Rogue. I'll say congratulations. I expect some fanfare. I'd put some yays in the background here of me speaking this, because that's really cool. You know, Grant Clapp had that beautiful case at the end of the day, but pound for pound over the season, Ryan Marino showed he is one of, if not the best player in round net, which was incredible, especially, you know, considering that I don't think anyone would have expected anything of a season from him after last year. Like, we talked to him earlier the year, the amount of effort that he put in the offseason and early this season. It didn't come together for them in the last major of the championship, but Marino is definitely the player of the year here for me.
Yep.
Scott disagrees. Scott's like, bad player.
No, I'm just thinking there's obviously so many more players that could go on that list, such as, you know, Vinny, Thomas, Ryder, given the main, if you say in tournaments per played. ATX and
return replay.
but overall, Ryan had an incredible season. After last year, knocked out in the quarters of the championship, and the year before that, winning, I believe, the Premier Division in 2021. Nice.
Yep.
Constant progression, and this year he had a great year. So yeah, congratulations to Ryan. That then brings us on to the women's individual performance of the year. We had Dani at Euros, Laura Kunzelman in Salt Lake City, Ali Jenke at the championship, and then Olivia Jenke at the championship. And the winner, then, in no real surprise, when you think of the team performance
the
of the year, which was K2 at Salt Lake City, we then have the individual women's player performance of the year, and that goes to Laura Kunzelman in Salt Lake City. 58% of the votes, pretty astounding. And congratulations.
A surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, not a big surprise. Good nominees there. And Dani at Euros is definitely a great shout.
Yeah.
So many aces. She took that game, almost by her, on her own at the Euros. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say even less of a surprise based on our team performance of the year. Our nominees for men individual performance of the year was Grant Clapwick at the championship, Ryan Marino in Richmond, Ryder, Riva in Salt Lake City, Blake Bozak in Columbus, and the vast, vast winner with 77% of the vote is Grant Clapwick at the championship. Again, the best individual performance in round net ever, maybe.
I totally agree with you there, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. But seriously, totally... totally deserved. I mean, everyone saw it. We don't need to talk about it more, but have you ever seen a player play so well all day? Well, not all day. Pool play, they didn't do so well, but racket on all day.
Like, matter of the season.
They just need to warm up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to play in system and quarters and Rogue and or in system in the round of 16 and Rogue in the quarters.
Yeah, they didn't
they
want
that revenge.
Not even a revenge. Lucky withdraw and then
Yeah, they didn't want to get lucky, stumble in the finals and have one good game. No, they wanted it.
Yep.
But anyway, keep us going, Scott.
Yep. So then we then move on to, not too many left, but we move on to breakout women's player of 2023. And we have, you're going to have to help me with some of these names. We have Maddie Morehouse, Ines Push from Toulouse, Laurence Ballet, is that how you say her name, from Canada?
I can't confirm, but I apologize. And that's Katie Pearson's partner, our other half, Royalty. On Royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Malia Wanderer, who is a big breakout player at College Nationals for Northeastern.
Yes, lovely.
But the winner.
The winner was Ines from Toulouse, France. Where I believe she's from Toulouse. If not, she's definitely from France. Fun fact, I'm pretty sure she's just moved to Basel, Switzerland. Expect some interesting Swiss teams next year.
Yeah. I think that's like a big story where they were in our breakout teams. They performed well at the start of the year. I think the question is going to be like, does that team continue, or does Ines continue to grow and round net and become an even bigger European force? Or form an even bigger European force that they already have, which is cool. Yeah, next year, three of the top four are going to be all European teams at the championship, right? And then the year after, the whole thing. You might as well just call it the European Tour Series at that point, right? Maybe.
Mike, move us on.
Moving on, we have a men's breakout player of the year. Our noms are Ryan Marino, Kieran Rose, Paul Simer, and Justin Barr. And the winner was Ryan Marino. Again, some may not like that, but really, I think he absolutely outclassed his expectations at the start of the year based on last year, and will deserve that award from us. You know, but the good news is can't go. Yeah, it was very close between him and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul almost got it. But again, shout out Kieran and Justin for same thing. Like, all these players absolutely outclassed their expectations, which I think is like the greatest thing you can ask for. Like, that's like the best thing is when, right? Like, that's the best feeling.
That every year,
it's actually bad now when people think people think you're good and you can only go down. That's the worst. I'm just kidding. But well done to all those. I think that's just a big testament to the effort and the work that these players all put in the off season and during this.
Agreed.
Or good marketing. Maybe I just think they've improved a lot, you know? So
all right.
I'm just kidding. Keep us going, Scott. We only got three left.
Three left. We have best crowd in 2023. We had the Canadians in Columbus winning System 1. We have the Swiss at Euros. We have the crowd at the American Spikers League Finals. And then we have the European crowd in Toulouse, France, at the Major. And it was very close. And in first place, with 35% of the vote, we had the Canadians in Columbus. Followed closely in second place by the European crowd in Toulouse, 31%, and then the Swiss at Euros, 22%, and then the crowd at ASL finals with 11%. But I mean, it's just how cool that we actually even have this poll. If you think about like 2021, yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, done since 2019, you'd be like, yes, you know, somebody brought their mum and dad and they went wild and they wrote the crowd of the year 2019. And now it's like, oh, cool. We actually have crowds, people following, watching. So that's obviously nice to see. A good award. So congratulations to the Canadians in Columbus. I managed to see some of the footage from that, but I'm sure the Round Network will capture more of it when they bring out their doc from that major later this year or early next year.
I love like where it's also just like upsets or unexpected results breed fun crowds, right? Like, and in systems in the finals, right? Like, I'm sure some players expected it, but you know, it wasn't exactly expected from everyone. So I think it's like this added thing of like, oh, they're here. We gotta root for them on versus like expected to be in the finals, keep rooting them on. It's like, no, we're keeping this journey going. We're keeping this energy up. Everyone's really excited about it. Like, I love that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree.
All right, Scott, two left. Last one here, innovation of 2023. We had three noms: the Premier Spike Set, the Round Network. What is that? Like a media conglomerate, and the American Spikers League with their large event at the start of the year.
Very different.
And then one coming up.
All very different.
All extremely different innovations, which I said last time. I think is very cool. And this was actually a very close one, but the winner with 52% of the votes was the Round Network, which I like. for me, you know, given I don't play as much RoundNet as watch RoundNet, so I think I'm certainly biased towards the Round Network over Premier Spike. But super cool. The doc on ESPNU was awesome. Their episodes have been great, and I'm super excited to see the future ones that come out going forward. And just great work from Albert and Ben and everyone that's helped him out this year.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Again, it's just fun to see different names on the nomination list. And I think it says a lot just to be on a nomination list for this type of thing. If you think about the amount of innovations and things that happen during a whole calendar year around it. So to be in the top three or, you know, just to be on the nomination list is a big thing. So yeah, congrats to the Round Network. A lot of cool stuff.
All right. This last one, Scott, it's actually our closest poll of them all.
I should have used five of my own accounts and just...
You should go on your accounts and yeah.
So in the very last award of this series and this year, we have best series of 2023. Which ones are you going to watch back when the season as it is now finished? And we have Twins versus Towerfall in the final of the championship. We have Judgment Day versus Kingdom Come in the semifinals of the championship. We have Matt and Ryder versus In-System in Salt Lake City. I believe it was the semi-final. And then we have K2 versus Twin, the award that we really gave to K2 for the team performance of the year. And in first place, with 30% of the vote, winning by 3 votes in total, was Judgment Day versus Kingdom Come at the championship, just edging K2 versus Twin Salt Lake City. So yeah, congratulations. That is also fun to know because I haven't watched that back, but I know I'm going to be watching it next week back with Fred and Thomas.
I was gonna say my favorite was Twins Towerfall. I loved that series. I was on the edge of my seat watching it live. I'll rewatch these other ones
Twins
back.
Ryder and Matt the In-System. I haven't seen Twins v Towerfall because I had a soccer game and I haven't seen Judgment Day versus Kingdom Come yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing those back next week.
Yeah.
And there we go.
And that's it. Those are awards.
That is it.
I thought you were clapping.
It was more like, oh, we're done. We did have some soundbites.
So honestly, Scott, I do have to say, this has been so much better without Thomas. Like, this episode went so smooth.
No, great. All right, let's play some of the sound bites he gave us to use, but we haven't used. But we will use his outro for the outro of the episode. But here we go. We got 4 sound bites that we could have used throughout the episode. Soundbite 1.
Oh, shut up, Mike.
Personal favorite. Next one.
I think nobody earns it.
Yeah.
Next one.
What would have thought that?
And then the last one.
Classic Beaks.
Oh, that is classic Beaks.
What great sound bites. But that does conclude. So unfortunately, again, Thomas was not here. But that does conclude our episode and this season, Mike. So I guess that's another 31 episodes in the book. Another season of that RoundNet podcast. We're now going to end the hibernation. And then we're going to have a discussion on what we want to do and what's going to happen for season 3. We have had 0 conversation, me, you, and Thomas, in regards to that. Got to be honest and say, like, this year... in some way felt tougher than last year. It was me, you, and Gavin obviously last year, and there was like so much excitement, and there was a lot to discuss and things to do. And then I think we all got quite a bit busier in our personal life this year, and especially including Gavin with then getting married, which he recently got married. So congratulations to Gavin.
I know he's married now, so he's got to be coming back, right?
So everything a little bit more on the plate, and we had a little break this year, then managed to bring on Tops, which has been amazing. A little bit more, I think a little more effort has gone into this year, but like a little bit more effort in regards to like, we've done more recaps and previews this year than we did last year. I think last year we just spoke.
We did less this year, and it feels like we did more, which is like, you know what I mean?
100%.
We did less, but it was harder.
Yeah, last year we had more than 31 episodes.
But this year has felt harder. Yeah.
That's also
we did have some great memes of the week at the start of the year, though.
Yeah.
Great memes of the week.
It was good, yeah. I probably should have taken your advice and just been like, we'll just do one a week instead of being like, we can do 6 or 7.
Memes of the week. Yeah.
Just a meme. Just a meme of the week.
But it was good. I mean, I guess I hope you liked this as we've kind of meshed through. I appreciate you listening to either just this episode or to many of them throughout the season. If you have thoughts on the podcast, send us a DM because we don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we'll have some conversations.
If you guys would listen to just like an hour straight of just Tops talking, we can make that happen.
Yeah, we can just get more sound bites from him and just...
shut up, Mike.
On repeat. No. No, but on that note, we'll probably send a feedback form and get some feedback from you guys from this season and then start to plan or start to decide what we want to do if we want to do a season three. Yeah, like everything's pretty much up in the air right now, and it's only the recording this on the Wednesday, and it'll come out on the Wednesday, so it's 25th of October. So yeah, we'll see. I will say that I do love other people coming up with it. We say innovations and stuff, but it was also nice to see Spike Lemonade come up with a podcast, and they had some people on. Stop, Mike. They had
I see some other stuff going on, but
we'll see what happens.
There it is. Congrats to all our award winners and all the nominations. You sit out this year, which I think is just great. Yeah, I hope that our recognition means like not negative to you, that you're like, oh, they nominated me for something. Boo. But I'm just kidding. I hope any listeners, you enjoyed this. And like I said, you enjoyed some episode or even one episode over the season, because we're happy to put it out for you guys. We'll see where it goes from here. Mm-hmm. All right, Scott.
On that note,
can sign us off.
Yeah, we have Thomas to sign us off. Here we go.
Oh, thank you, Mike and Scott. This is the season final of Dead Random Podcast, episode 31. Thank you so much for listening. Please follow us also on Instagram. And of course, give us 5 stars or follow us also on Spotify. We're going to hear you very soon. And for this season, thank you so much. And this was Dead Random.
my battery went on.
Podcast.
Wait. Yeah, I don't know. My battery said 20% just as he was about to say it, so it stopped the recording. Podcast.
So you actually don't know what this was?
No. But yes, on that note, appreciate you all, whether you listen to one episode or the full season. And we'll hear from you during the off season, and we will leave it there. Thank you guys for watching. See you guys.